Amen. Amen. God is good. And it is good to worship in that way and to use music and song in a way that brings glory and honor to God. And that is what we seek to do during our worship service. It is not just tradition. I know I've mentioned this several times. You know, a lot of the things that we do can be construed as, well, this is just what churches do. But there is a biblical meaning in the church gathering and singing and making music unto the Lord. And that is what we're doing. Let me again just welcome our guests, those of you that are joining us, maybe for the first time. We do want you to know how glad we are that you are here. Welcome to our service. We hope that you are blessed by being here. We also hope that you are very warmly welcomed. And we do encourage you to stop by our guest services area just so we have the opportunity to do that and do it well. I also want to welcome those of you that are joining us online. We have many that are still not with us, and we miss you and are looking forward to when you can join us again, hopefully soon. I have been doing a pretty short series. I'm going to conclude that today, The Way of Wisdom. We've been looking at Scripture and just looking at what it teaches about wisdom and the skill of godly living in this world, which is essentially how Proverbs kind of describes what wisdom is. And we looked at the way of wisdom. We looked at fear, the fear of God versus indifference to God. We looked at wisdom versus folly. Last week we looked at wise speech versus foolish speech. And today we're going to be looking at receiving correction versus rejecting correction. And that is a big topic in the book of Proverbs and is again associated directly with wisdom. And so if I were to say to you, how many of you enjoy and look forward to correction? How many of you would just, you know, raise your hand and say, yeah, you know, I can't wait. I wake up every morning and I say, I can't wait to see how I will be corrected today. Who will do it? I will receive it. I will be joyful. It'll be the best thing. I can't wait. It's not typically how we wake up, but yet we are going to see that how we respond to correction. And again, the correction that the scripture is talking about is essentially correction from God and from the wisdom of God. So how we respond to that reveals our spiritual maturity. I want you to think about that. How do you determine spiritual maturity? You might say, well, it's, you know, how much you know, how long you've been a Christian. But one of the things that reveals the depth of spiritual maturity is how you respond to correction. It reveals, as we're going to see, whether you are wise or foolish. And the scriptures place a great emphasis on how believers respond to corrections. Great emphasis placed on that. And you may not know this, but I received a lot of correction growing up. I wasn't necessarily a defiant child, but I was, as I hear, non-stop active. And that activity just got me into trouble. My mom would always tell me a story about my grandmother, my abuelita. She called me Tormentita, which you would probably not know what that is, but it, for her, it meant Little Storm. That was my nickname, Little Storm. Some of you have kids like that. You have little storms running around your house. Some of you were those kids. Thank your parents. And so you also know about correction. If you're the parent of one of those children, you know a lot about the correcting side. If you are the child, you know what it means to receive and maybe not receive that correction. But the Proverbs actually teach us to love correction. Think about that. To love correction. Really? I mean, how do you love correction? And when you think about that, and then you contrast it with the fact that we're living in a culture today that celebrates the rejection of correction. So we're living in a culture now that kind of has celebrated the rejection of correction. Our culture will praise you for rejecting that kind of input into your life. No one should tell you how to live. No one should tell you what to do. You need to just be who you are. Be true to yourself. Don't let anyone judge you. These are the messages of society and culture, yet here we are reading about the wisdom of God, and the instruction of God is to receive instruction and correction. And so here's what we're going to do today. You're going to see how the scriptures describe the wisdom of receiving correction. So we'll look at that. And then we'll look at how the scriptures describe the foolishness of rejecting correction. Then you're going to see the common attribute that's needed to receive correction, and then the common attribute that is associated with rejecting correction. I'm going to share how God administers correction in our lives, and then we're going to see how our response to correction impacts our relationships with each other. So let's ask God to lead and guide us through all of that. Lord, we do in this moment right now submit ourselves to you and to your wisdom. We humble ourselves before you in that way and ask you to speak to our hearts and our minds. Lord, even as we've already heard, maybe some of us are hearing already and thinking, I don't know that I'm really the kind of person that receives correction well. Lord, I pray that you would just speak to each of us in the way that you want to accomplish your purpose and will in our lives. Give us a heart that is soft and open, and ears that are willing to hear and listen. Help us, Lord, to be people who choose the way of wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to start by defining correction, just to make sure that we're all on the same page with that word. So what is correction? What is that word referring to? Well, the dictionary definition of the word is the action or process of correcting something, a change that rights a wrong. So it's this action or process of correcting something. An example would be, you know, like a misspelled word. And to correct a misspelled word, you identify the word that's misspelled, you change it, and you spell it correctly. And that is a correction. Now if we're going to connect that definition to the book of Proverbs and to the scriptures, we need to understand what the premise of Proverbs is when it comes to correction. And I've already stated it, but I'm going to put it on the screen here for you to see just so it sinks in for us. But the premise is that it is wise to receive correction and fools reject correction. This is the premise of correction in the book of Proverbs. This is what Proverbs teaches us, that if you're the kind of person that can receive that into your life, that is wise. If you're the kind of person that cannot and you reject it, that is foolish. The wise receive correction, fools reject correction. And so, again, just to make sure that we're understanding the kind of correction that Proverbs has in mind, well, we have to think about what we've already learned. We've already learned that Proverbs is concerned with the skill of godly living. So wants you to understand this skill of godly living. How do you live in a way that is godly? That is wisdom, and that comes from God. You can't do that apart from God, apart from the Spirit working in and through you. So if you allow this correction into your life, when it comes, then you're demonstrating wisdom. And if you don't, then you're demonstrating foolishness. And so this is the premise that Proverbs is going from. Now, I want to move from here to describing the wisdom of receiving correction according to the book of Proverbs. So what does Proverbs say about the wisdom for you to receive correction? What does the scripture say about that? Well, Proverbs 3:11 says that the Lord reproves him whom he loves. So think about that. The Lord reproves the one he loves. He's going to bring reproof. And what you're going to see in this message today, you're going to see different words that are associated with correction. You're going to see reproof. You're going to see instruction, admonishing. And so all of these are talking about this idea of correction into our lives. The Lord reproves those he loves. In 9:8, it says, reprove a wise man and he will love you. Think about that. Reprove a wise person and they're going to love you for it. Imagine that. Think about that. Is that you? Is that me? Like, are we the kind of people when we are reproved, we love that? I just love you, man. You're always correcting me. It's like, this is so not what we're used to. 12:1 says, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. To live a life of discipline here is again a life that is open to correction and instruction. And to love that kind of life is to love knowledge. And again, here, this knowledge is the knowledge that comes from God. 13:18, whoever heeds reproof is wise. 15:5, whoever heeds reproof is prudent. The one who listens to reproof gains intelligence. It's almost as if there's intelligence out there that you don't have apart from the correction that is going to be brought into your life. And to allow that correction to be brought into your life, you are actually bringing in intelligence into your life. I think we could all use a little more intelligence. And so these are just some of the descriptions according to the scripture. So Proverbs gives high praise to those who are willing to receive correction, and not only receive correction, but it goes a step further, loving correction, seeking it. This is more than tolerating correction. Way more, and we need to understand that. The wisdom isn't in the tolerating, it is in the receiving. In the receiving. Now let's look at the foolishness of rejecting correction, because Proverbs gives us a clear description of that. I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 1. It's the chapter that you just heard read, and the passage that was read earlier. And we're going to see how this passage describes the folly of rejecting correction. So Proverbs chapter 1, verse 22. I'm going to look at a couple different verses, and also it'll be on the screen for you to see. But Proverbs 1:22 says, how long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? Well, what does scoffing mean? It's probably not a word you use. Well, to scoff is to mock. It's to jeer. It's to deride something or someone. In this case, it would mean to mock, to jeer, or to deride correction in your life. And to do that, how long will scoffers delight in mocking this correction and instruction in their life? That's the question. How long will fools hate knowledge? Because that's what's trying to come into your life. Now we see also some of the description that God has given us here in his word as how people respond to the wisdom that he is trying to give. 1:24, you refused to listen. No one has heeded. 1:25, you have ignored all my counsel. You would have none of my reproof. Verse 29, they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Verse 30, they would have none of my counsel and despised my reproof. This is all just one chapter describing how to negatively respond to the correction of God in our lives. But the Proverbs say more than just that, more than just what chapter 1 says. Chapter 12, verse 1 says it pretty clearly. He who hates reproof is stupid. And that's pretty clear. And again, it's this understanding of you don't want it in your life. You're pushing it away. 13:18 says poverty and disgrace come to him, to those who ignore instruction. This isn't to say that all poverty is a result of ignoring instruction, but it is to say that some is. And this would be another text that would be against what we talked about earlier in the summer when we were talking about the tenets of critical theory. This would say, no, there is counsel and instruction that needs to be received, and to remove that and to push that away could lead to poverty and disgrace. 15:10, whoever hates reproof will die. A living a life of constantly rejecting and pushing away instruction into your life is going to lead to destruction for you. It's going to lead there. And then 15:32, notice what that says. Whoever ignores instruction despises himself. So now there's this nugget here of wisdom that literally says that if you are the kind of person that ignores instruction that you are getting into your life, what the scripture is saying there is you actually despise yourself, because that instruction is what you need in your life to help you live the way that God wants you to live. But you're not open to it. And so you're hurting yourself by doing that. And so here we see it's quite clear from Scripture that it is utterly foolish to be a person that rejects correction, to be a person that is not open to counsel and open to instruction. And to be this way and to live this way is folly. It is foolishness according to the Scriptures. So as we think about that now, if it is utter folly to reject correction, why do so many hate correction? Why do we reject correction? And this is where I want to go into the common attribute of the heart that is in each person that rejects correction, and a common attribute in the heart of those who receive correction. So I'll start on the positive end. The common attribute of those who receive correction: humility and compassion in those who receive correction. It's the common attribute you're going to find in a person who is receiving this kind of correction and instruction into their life that ultimately is coming from God. They have humility in their heart before God and compassion for people. To be able to receive correction, there must be humility. Only a humble heart before God can readily receive correction. And if there's no humility in your heart, you will never be able to receive the correction in your life that's required. You'll never be able to receive it because the humility is not there in your heart to receive it. But not only humility, but compassion. And you might say, well, why compassion? Well, because compassion is what makes you aware of how your actions and behavior have hurt other people. And this is what makes that plays a part in your desire to change. Because think about it, if you're being corrected, then something needs to be changed. There was something that you did that needs to be changed. And more than likely, because of that thing that you did, it hurt other people. And if you have compassion on those people and a humble heart, you will be more open to receiving that instruction and correction. So you don't want to hurt others. So you're ready and you're willing to receive correction. Both humility and compassion are present. And this must come, of course, as New Testament believers, this must come from the Spirit of God, producing this in you. You can't hear this message today and say, okay, Pastor, got it. I wrote it down. I'm going to be working on humility and compassion this week. It doesn't work that way. What happens is you submit yourself before God and you ask God to reveal your heart to you, and that you open your heart to God and you say, God, where there is a lack of humility and compassion for others, change my heart, God. And even in that prayer is a humble prayer. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Colossians 3:2. What about the common attribute associated with rejecting correction? Well, that would be the opposite. That would be pride and arrogance. A prideful and arrogant heart can never accept or receive correction. And this is why the Proverbs are so clear about the foolishness of rejecting correction. Reprove a scoffer and he will hate you, is what the Proverbs say. Where does that hate come from? It comes from a prideful heart, an arrogant heart, a heart that says, don't tell me what to do. I don't want to hear it. If you're the kind of person that cannot receive counsel, cannot receive instruction, cannot receive reproof, cannot receive rebuke, correction, then I want to encourage you to check your heart before God today. Because there is probably pride and arrogance there that needs to be confessed. Because the common attribute of those who reject correction is a prideful and arrogant heart, but the common attribute of those who do receive correction is a humble and compassionate heart. And that's a heart under the Spirit's control. So now we know what correction is. We know how the Scriptures describe both foolish and wise responses to correction, what the common attribute is for those who receive and those who reject. Now let's look at how God administers correction in our lives, the ways in which God administers correction in our lives. First way is correction from God's Spirit and Word. I would say that this is the primary way that God is going to correct you, which, by the way, he is going to do. It's not if he's going to do it. It is when and how often. Because he loves you, and he reproves those he loves. And as his child, he's going to bring correction. And the way he's going to do that primarily is through the Spirit of God that has been given to you as a believer, that dwells in you and is going to convict your heart and is going to let you know things that are happening, and you need to respond to that correction. And he's going to do that through his Word. And the Spirit and the Word always work together and never against each other. We talked about that when we were studying the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit of God is going to use the Word of God to correct you. And this is why it is so important that you are what? Reading the Word of God. You need to be reading the Word of God, and you need to let the Word of God read you. Too many people approach the Scriptures and devotions as, I got to get through this today, and it's about what knowledge I can gain instead of, God, I open my heart before you, let me read your word and let your word and your Spirit read my heart, convict me, change me, transform me into the person that you desire for me to be. And that's why it's so important that we are in the Word of God, part of the reason why. And why it's important to be under teaching that exposits the Word of God. Because even through that, God will correct you, instruct you, guide you, reprove you, rebuke you. And this is how he works. I didn't come up with this. This isn't my idea. I'm telling you the way in which God works, and we just need to respond through it to it in the right way. So the Spirit of God is going to convict you of sin. The Spirit will do that primarily through his Word, and that means, of course, you need to be in the Word. And that also means if you're never in the Word, you're not allowing yourself to be open to the correction of God in your life. You are missing correction. You are missing reproof. You are missing rebuke. You are missing the ways in which God wants to speak to you. And the Proverbs say that is foolish living. To live like that is a fool. That's folly. That is unwise. It is the Word of God and the Spirit of God that keeps us humble and compassionate. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of your heart. That's from the book of Hebrews. So now we're in the New Testament, in the New Covenant reading. But what's happening there is God is using the Word of God, the Spirit of God, to discern what's going on in your heart. And that is why we so desperately need to be in the Word and allowing the Spirit of God through His Word to transform us and to continue to make us into the likeness of Christ. So we need to submit ourselves to the Lord's correction. And the primary way He does that is through the Word of God and through, of course, the Spirit of God. The second way is correction from other people. This is the part we don't like. We don't like this, but God does use people to bring correction into our lives. And I think most of us, we'd have this prayer with God and we'd be like, hey God, I just want you to know I'm okay with anything you need to tell me about my life. I'm perfectly okay with it. Your Spirit, your Word, bring it on. But please, not other people. Right? I don't respond well to that. And God's like, exactly. That's a problem. And the reality is this. I want you to think about this. Really think about this. The reality is this. There are issues in our lives, in your life, that require the help of others for you to recognize. And God is going to use them to bring correction into your life. There are issues in your life that God is going to use others to bring to you, which means it requires the help of others for you to address it. And to never be open to it means it never gets addressed. And this is why we need to be open to the counsel and instruction of others. It's why we have a counseling ministry in our church. It's why I try to always encourage you, for any of you that I talk to about counseling, I always try to say, don't look at it like there's something wrong with you. That's why you need counsel. The scriptures tell us we all need counsel. And it is wise to receive it. And it is foolish to not. But we need to recognize and understand that this is one of the ways that God administers correction in our lives. And if we don't recognize that He's going to do this, then we are in essence, hear this, we are in essence rejecting correction from God because we're rejecting it from other people. And that, of course, is foolish. Now, I need to say that there are two types of people that God uses in bringing correction to us. The first type are those that are led by the Spirit. And these are the best people to be corrected by. Why? Well, because they come humbly. They come in the power of the Spirit. They come in love. They come because they want to help you. And it will usually go well. Not always, but it usually will go well. And these are the people we want to come to us, right? Come, if you're going to come to me, come led by the Spirit. And the reality is, if you're not, don't come. And that's good advice for all of us. A good example, I think, of this in the scriptures when Nathan, remember the prophet Nathan, when he went to King David, when after David had killed Uriah, and Nathan was so brilliant in the way he brought that to the king, risking his life literally, because if it didn't go well, it wasn't going to go well for Nathan. And he told him this little story, and in the story, David, he kind of epitomized this character, and David said, that man needs to die. And Nathan said, the man is you. And then he backed up and said, please, God, have mercy on me. And David was broken. What? Why? Because he was wise. That's a wise response. It would have been foolish for David to reject that correction. But that wasn't easy for Nathan. So those led by the Spirit. But then, of course, there's another type, those not led by the Spirit. And no one likes being corrected by a person who is not led or controlled by the Spirit. Yet, God in his sovereignty does use these types of people too. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. That doesn't mean that what they're doing is right, but it does mean that even though what they're doing is not right, he will use it in your life because God does not waste anything in our lives. Amen? That's an important thing for us to believe, especially when it comes to the sovereignty of our God. He does not waste things like, oops, let's just scratch that and pretend that never happened. That's not the God we serve. But these people, they don't come in humility. They don't come in gentleness. They come mainly because they're annoyed and they want you to know it. And that usually doesn't go well. But I'm sure it's happened where someone has come to you in the wrong way, maybe with the wrong attitude. But the issue they were addressing was correct. And you knew it. But they actually gave you a reason to reject it because they came in the wrong way. And you were like, thank God you came in the wrong way because now I can reject it. Had you come in the Spirit humbly, I would have had to receive this. But God will use that to bring change in you even though it was not done the right way. Either way, we need to be aware that God will use people. This is the point. God will use people to administer his correction. Sometimes these people are spirit controlled and come in the right way. Sometimes they're not, and they come in the wrong way. And if that's you, maybe you have been that person who's come in the wrong way. I think it's safe to say we all have, probably. If you've corrected others, they've not responded well to you. Maybe you kind of feel like I have the gift of correction, but it doesn't go well for you. I want to encourage you, maybe the problem is you. Maybe it's the way you're approaching it. Your heart's not right before God. Maybe you're going in your own strength. Maybe you're trying to accomplish your own purpose. Maybe there's a change you want to see in that person's life because you think it needs to be there and not God. Because if it's God bringing the correction and he's using you, then ultimately you're being used to accomplish his purpose, not yours. And that's what we're seeking to do. So either way, we should seek God for how God is asking us to respond. Now, the third way that God administers his correction to us is through circumstances in life. God uses our circumstances in life to bring correction and instruction and direction and reproof and rebuke in our lives. There's plenty of examples of this in the scriptures. God used the famine in Israel to humble the brothers of Joseph and to bring them to Egypt. He brought a humility before them, but he used a famine to do that's a circumstance in life. I want you to think about your own life. How many times has God used your circumstance that maybe you didn't even want to happen, but it happened anyway, and he used that circumstance in your life to correct, to reprove, to guide, and to instruct you? Maybe as it was happening, you didn't realize it, but afterwards you look back and you're like, yeah, that's what God was doing. You lost your job, but God taught you to trust him more. Your difficult boss that you had to deal with every day actually brought you to your knees in prayer more consistently, which actually God was trying to do. Your child that is drifting away from the Lord has brought you into the Word more consistently, which is something God wanted to happen in your life. And so these are circumstances that happen in life that God will use. Your financial struggle and situation maybe has helped to make you less materialistic, something God was actually seeking to do in you. Your church entered into a building campaign, and that circumstance allowed you to learn the blessing of giving generously and sacrificially, maybe in a way you never have before. And I think we all experience that as a church. I remember when we moved to Florida in 2002, how God used that move and that family transition to make it clear to me and to Stephanie that he was calling me into pastoral ministry. I don't know why it took that kind of circumstantial change. I don't understand all of the details related to that, but that circumstance changed things enough to make this very clear as to what God was asking of us. And so God can and God does use our circumstances to instruct, to guide, and to correct us. That's why we should never see our circumstances as coincidences. Never see your circumstance in life as, well, this just must be a coincidence. God is sovereign over that circumstance. And you need to trust, no matter what it is, that he can be trusted and that he will accomplish his purpose through it as you trust him. And that is completely biblical and spirit of the word of God for us to remember. So those are the ways that God administers his correction to us, and we need to be aware of them so that we can be ready to receive his correction in the way that he deems best. Now I want to quickly just share with you how correction impacts our relationships with each other. And my hope is that by seeing this through the lens of relationship, that it will help you to receive correction and instruction as we should. First one is this: a true friendship will allow correction into the relationship. I want you to think about something. Do you allow correction in any of your relationships? Is that allowed? If there's no one in your life that's allowed to bring correction into your life, it should reveal something about your heart. Because maybe you've sent enough messages to people, don't try that. And that's not wise. Your best, your truest friends are the ones who should have permission, and they should also have relational credibility to speak into your life. And I'm talking about true friendships here that have probably taken time to develop. You should understand true friendship. I think this is one of the things that Christians should understand. We should understand true friendship to include correction. I don't think we do. I think it's just the opposite. And I think our young people, because of what's happening on social media, as soon as somebody says something we don't like, we just unfriend them, just block them, just mute them. And then we treat relationships like that. But that's not how God desires for us to treat relationships with each other. We need to have more invested and allow God to work on our hearts. So if that's your situation, let me encourage you to just search your heart before the Lord. Maybe there is someone in your life and you're thinking and you say, you know, I would really be comfortable with that person bringing correction into my life, because I know they love me, I know they care for me, I know they want the best for me. Well, let me encourage you, tell them that. In humility, go to them and say, I just want you to know, I want to give you permission to speak into my life when needed, because I know you love me. I know our relationship is strong. I know we can handle that. You're gonna go to a new level in that relationship. It's not going to deter, it's going to build up. Because this is the way that God is asking us to respond, and it is wise. Proverbs 9:8, do not reprove a scoffer or they will hate you. Reprove a wise person and they will love you. Second, mature relationships should be open to giving and receiving correction. And this kind of goes along with what I said earlier, but the more mature relationships should be open to the giving and receiving of correction in the relationship. Strong, mature friendships and relationships, familial relationships in the family, they should be able to handle this kind of correction and instruction. It is wise and it's foolish to not include it. So again, take time to speak with your closest friends about this and allow room in your relationship to talk about this together. And then third, not all relationships are ready for correction. And it's wise to understand this. Yes, there are relationships that should include this, but some should not. For example, we might have some new families here in church. You shouldn't go up to them after church and think, I'm going to give you some correction. You heard the pastor. That's not wise. It's not that's not a wise thing to do, to move right into that. Or maybe you have a new family member. You know, one of your siblings got married and there's a new, you know, a new in-law in the family. No matter where it is, you know, the first family gathering, probably not the best time to say, I've been waiting to give you this list of things. Let's have common sense around this. You know, your new neighbor moves in, you know, and you see him outside, he's working on the yard, and you said, yeah, we wanted to talk to you about a lot of things about this house that's bothering me. Probably not going to go well with that neighbor for a long time. So I think that we need to have common sense and wisdom. There should be relational credibility built up. And that takes time. And not all relationships are ready for that. So I want to make sure that you don't say, well, you know, I'm just going to take pastor's sermon and that's my reason for basically telling everybody everything that I've always wanted to get off my chest. That is not what this is. In fact, it's the opposite. It is, in fact, a message for you to search your own heart about how God wants to change you to be open to receiving this in your life. That's what this is. So use wisdom. Be humble. Be compassionate. Make sure it's led and controlled by the Spirit in the giving and in the receiving. Now, I mentioned earlier that we're living in a culture that is completely closed to correction. It's closed like never before. You'll be accused of judging, shaming, being intolerant. I mean, you name it. Yet, the Scriptures teach that it is wise to be open to receiving correction, and it is foolish to reject correction. So humbly allow God to bring that correction into your life as He sees fit, the way He sees fit, and just respond humbly to it. Do not despise the Lord's discipline, or be weary of His reproof. For the Lord reproves those whom He loves. Let's pray. Lord God, we want to be open in our hearts and in our minds to the instruction and correction that You desire to bring into our lives. So help us, Lord, to be open. Teach us this way of wisdom. Lord, if there is pride and arrogance in our hearts, remove it. We confess that, Lord, and just ask You to humble us before You. Because there are pieces of our lives that are missing instruction if we're not open to the way in which You desire to speak into our lives. And Lord, if You so choose to use one of us to bring correction and instruction into the lives of others, may we take that and approach that with great humility before You, Lord, and handle it with great love. We ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.